Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Lutheran Radio UK. And right now it's time for another episode of the series Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. Today we're going to know the importance of what it is to be invited to the Lord's table. Our text is actually from Isaiah chapter 55 verses 1 to 5, and so from the English Standard Version it reads, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." The table is set. You're ready to sit down and eat and drink. Imagine your favorite meal. What would it be? For me, the table would have a big platter of soft pizza dough smothered with taco salad, in effect a taco salad pizza. The aroma of the fresh bread mixed with special sauces, dressings, cheeses, and the salt from the chips, and a glass of cold Coke sits at the top of the plate for refreshment, if I can pull myself away from the feast for a second to breathe. For dessert, a rich triple chocolate hot fudge brownie cake, wherewith a huge dollop of vanilla ice cream will just melt and run down the side. It then has to be balanced with a very sensible cup of tea. What is your favorite meal? What's on your plate and your glass? Isaiah writes, "Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live." Verses 2 to 3. Sadly, Isaiah is not talking about taco salad pizza or fudge brownies here. But even so, the table he is inviting us to has the richest of food and the most nourishing of drink. You see, the table we eat at has been set by God's one and only Son. Jesus has prepared a meal for us beyond imagination. How did he prepare this meal? Well, just before this invitation to come and eat at this table, Isaiah had prophesied what God's servant would do. Listen to these sentences from Isaiah 53. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and was esteemed not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Sound familiar? Of course it does. It describes pretty accurately Jesus' final few days on this earth. Just as Isaiah said, Jesus was rejected and beaten. He was whipped and bloodied. You can picture how the Roman soldiers have despised him, and that he was so crushed he could not even carry his cross to his execution, stricken, smitten, afflicted. And what's more, Jesus does all this to give people like you and me the chance to sit at his table, on which he has wondrously set the richest of foods, all because he has bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, and was wounded for our transgressions. It is made only too clear that he has borne all of our sin and iniquity on his own shoulders. But again, by it, by his stripes, we are healed. That's good news. On that cross he prepares forgiveness for that iniquity. By his suffering, the table is covered with salvation. His death puts eternal life on the table. Look at this wondrous table before us. Each plate and every glass brings us to the very presence of God to eat and drink of his peace. Is this not the greatest feast to behold? From all affliction, the one thing that remains is peace, his peace. Out of all the choicest foods, Jesus' peace is on the table. The question isn't, how do I get a piece of this peace? It's sitting right there on offer at the table of Christ. But some of you may still need to know what this peace is. Maybe you don't yet know the significance of the peace which Jesus has to offer you from his table. What you need to know is that this peace is more than absence of war or stopping a fight. God's peace is absolute safety, health, and wholeness aplenty. No matter what situations we may find ourselves in here on earth, one day, because of his peace, we will never have to worry about food ever again. Our wounds will be healed, even the ones the doctors say are irreversible. Our relationships with each other will be stronger than we could ever imagine. We won't have to ignore each other's flaws anymore, because we won't have any. Our bodies will be perfectly sound and fit for every occasion, for every purpose there is in life. We will be able to live it, each and every one of us. One symbol for peace is the horn of plenty. The horn of plenty is a long basket, small at one end, and at the larger open end, all sorts of food rolls out. A lot of harvest pictures have this type of horn basket in them. In times of peace, people have food, lots of it. It's a time of satisfaction and celebration. Another sign of peace is the shaking of hands and saying, God's peace be with you. See what kind of eyebrows come up as you say that to someone instead of good morning. But I don't think we'd be too surprised if we said this to each other. As fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, we look for opportunities where we can encourage each other in the faith, don't we? So there you have it in one mutual phrase, God's peace be with you, or God bless. But I'd like to start using the former more. The word peace really makes a difference. Peace is health and the wholeness of body and soul. Peace is freedom from worry. Peace is uninterrupted sleep. Peace is the bounce in your step and the quiet confidence of a day lived with purpose. What an incredible spread of food we have on this table. Forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. God's love and peace. It's a meal that satisfies, blesses our relationships, gives wholeness of body and soul, provides purpose to life. And we're actually invited to this rich feast of blessings. We're invited because Jesus didn't stay crushed and beaten. He didn't stay in the grave. He rose victoriously on Easter. This meal is a victory celebration, a time to rejoice. It's the most joyous meal you could ever eat because Jesus is there, alive and inviting us to join him. Incredible, isn't it? The fact that we truly are invited. Normally, who is it that gets invited to the best meals in town? Have you ever thought about having a dinner at Buckingham Palace with the Queen and the cool new couple, William and Kate of Cambridge? There would, of course, be a protocol officer, someone to tell you to sit in the right place, to bow, curtsy. It would be good to do some research on who else is going to be at the dinner for polite conversation. And even if you are invited to the great feast, who really is seated in the places of honor? Would you really get to make small talk with the royals? But let's move down a class and say you're just rich beyond belief. You go out every night to fancy restaurants, so much so that they all know you quite well. Sometimes after eating, you fancy that little bit extra splash, so you buy a bottle of wine for £300. You drink, you're merry, but the night's far from over. You decide to go to a club. You don't even have to wait in the line. You walk right in. You're waving a £50 note in the bouncer's face, and you've just doubled his income that night. People see your face so much you get invited to even more parties. Before long you start to notice that there are several celebrities everywhere you go. It becomes apparent that you're quite good looking. You wear all the popular brands of clothing. You smell great and people are pulling up all sorts of chairs for you so that you'll give them the honor of sitting next to them. We notice here an almost impossible standard to live by and notice what happens with these meals. People are naturally excluded because they don't have enough money or there is no political power. Sometimes you may even be told to just go home. You're pathetic. You're not young or beautiful anymore. You're not welcome. You don't nearly have enough followers on Twitter. No one knows your face and you certainly don't expect anyone to make room for you. But that's not the case with Jesus. Listen again. Come, everyone who thirsts. come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 1. In other words, it's free. Just come and enjoy. What an amazing invitation. Everyone is invited. No one is excluded from this invitation. You could be old, weak, tired, handicapped, nerdy, out of shape, wearing second-hand clothes, unemployed, underemployed, unnoticed. Anyone is invited. Status, power, money, fame, looks, dress don't count at Jesus' table. In fact, you can't buy your way to this table. Of course, that would be the ultimate insult to Jesus. And so there is the concept that if someone does not get the invitation rightly, they can get rejected from the table because they do not accept that it is free. They'll want to pay for it anyway because they insist that nothing happens unless they're throwing money at people. Yes, then it is possible to not be at this banquet table, though it is meant for everyone. Not everyone will get in. And I will add to that that if you aren't concerned about whether the person next to you is at the feast worthily, then neither are you worthy to receive it. You must be aware of those around you who are next to you at this feast, who necessarily believe in Jesus, with you, as your brother and sister in Christ. And you must also confirm this to be the case before you sit, eat, and drink. You are here only because Jesus has invited you. You cannot be unsure about that, or be unsure that those around you believe that. The places have been already set for those who believe and have confessed the same. The ultimate irony to this is that there are, in fact, empty places still. In other words, there is always more room for those who would come rightly to the table, for all have been invited. Who is it then that does the inviting? We do. In the name of Jesus, we invite people into our midst, and as importantly, we invite them to confess with us the name of Jesus. If they aren't willing to do that, if they don't want to be instructed, it's not we who are refusing them, but they who are refusing to acknowledge the true instruction of Jesus. It is you and I who are the instructors of people to this table, so we better make sure we are witnessing rightly. Let's say 100 people, perfect strangers, walked through that door in order to worship with us. We'd make room for them. Sure, they'd overwhelm us, but we'd make room. But there's a difference between welcoming people into our midst and inviting people to this table. The elders would have a field day asking them all sorts of questions, including the most important one of all, before inviting them here. Are you Lutheran? 100 is a significant number, but there should not be a number so high that should ever cause us to doubt Jesus' true intention of inviting us to this feast. We're the ones who believe in him. They've just come out of the blue. How are we to truly know what they believe? For this is necessary for anyone to come and sit and eat and drink at the same feast at which we sit and eat and drink. This isn't about popularity and exclusivity. It's about knowing what the invitation is and who is doing the inviting. Otherwise, there is no point or purpose. This is important, and we should remind ourselves that there is a difference between attending worship and being in communion with the person next to you. For sadly, it is the truth today that these are not necessarily the same thing. The hope is that those who are not in communion with us, but worship with us, would hear the good news, want further instruction, maybe even be more involved with the church activities to further educate themselves, such as Bible study, and humbly look to receive the invitation to the table once they know, without a doubt, who is issuing the invitation and what the invitation is for. The table isn't for those who simply come along one Sunday because they've been invited to church. If they get this impression, then they've been given the wrong impression, and we need to make sure we don't give people this wrong impression. You are not to tell people that the pastor is just this great guy, and once I tell him you're my friend or neighbor or even family member, I'm sure he'll commune you. That is not an appropriate invitation, even if they're Christian. Because unfortunately, various traditions and denominations of Christianity have made vague the importance of this great feast and the true nature of its invitation. If every Christian denomination did teach its importance, we would, of course, invite all to the table as eagerly as we do to church. But we can't, because the rest of the churches have simply ruined it for all of us. So now people must specifically be confirmed as Lutheran, just so we know without a doubt that they are actually Christian. If you haven't done that yet and you're in our midst and still don't receive communion, then all you have to do is just that. Just confess the name of Jesus as per your church's tradition. Do what your Lutheran church says, because they know what they're talking about. I'm of course starting with the premise that you're bringing your friend into church from some sort of church background, but don't attend a church anymore. If they would, it would be where you're taking them now, which is great. But an invitation to church is different to the invitation to come to the Lord's table, which ironically, again, is for everyone, but is still to be received rightly. If they get it, this shouldn't be a deterrent, but rather something for which, in the long term, they'll really appreciate, because they too, in turn, will know without a doubt that the person they have the privilege of sitting next to at table believes the exact same thing as they do. The unequivocal truth that Christ's true body and true blood has been shed for their forgiveness, life and salvation, and guarantees eternal life, which is before them right now. It's that simple. And knowing this, they wouldn't want to receive this banqueting table themselves with anyone else either who didn't believe that. If just any and everyone received this, it would be treated cheaply. And I don't mean just given away for free, which would be the right sense. I mean cheaply, without any consideration for its true significance, just hoping that the person next to you gets something from it. No, this supper is too important to be vague, and unfortunately from what we know, most other Christian denominations do not hold this practice. It is not good enough to say you've been confirmed in another Christian church. You must be confirmed in this Lutheran church. If you haven't, and you believe what we believe, for the love of God, be a confirmed Lutheran already. That's not shutting yourself off from the rest of the Christian church. They've already shut themselves off from us by saying it's not important enough to distinguish rightly what we're receiving. If you refuse to see it that way, I still don't know what your issue is, because by believing what we believe, you've already separated yourself, therefore, from them, if you want to see it like that. I know it's hard to imagine in this country, and we often refer to ourselves as a mission for this very reason, we are set apart from the Anglicans and Roman Catholics and Baptists and Presbyterians. We're the only Lutheran church in Cardiff. But this is necessary. Perhaps a better exercise would be to close your eyes, see the walls disappear, and the thousands upon thousands of miles that separate us from the other Lutherans around the world suddenly disappear, so that they're sitting right next to you. When we come and sit at this table, every one of your brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who confess the same name of Jesus are with you. Just because the local Anglicans around the corner, whom we often share coffee hour with, can't share communion with us, this is no reason to be dismayed. We have the truth, and we have each other and all those around the world who we truly are in fellowship with, doing the exact same thing, just in a different building. But if you somehow need comfort in knowing that there are more out there like you, there are, unequivocally. You are receiving communion with millions of other Lutherans out there, wherever they are. We are communing with everyone who has truly come to this wondrous meal with faith in the absolute truth, both past and present, male and female, rich and poor, healthy and sick, young and old, American and French, Sudanese and Australian, disfigured and beautiful, handicapped and star athlete, kings, queens and subjects, well-dressed and homeless, and who else is with us? I'm not just going to give communion to someone who says they're Christian and batters their puppy eyes at me. To give communion to someone I do not know would do injustice to the millions of Lutherans around the world who, like us, on principle, do not give out communion willy-nilly, but to those who know exactly who is inviting them to the feast of victory for our God. Jesus invites each and every one of us, yes, and he invites us to receive his table rightly, to receive his very body and blood in bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins, because without him there is no life. What a meal this is for now and all eternity. including for those who still need to be saved, still need to be invited, who will one day partake of this feast. It is the same feast. We have here a foretaste of eternity. But you are either at the feast or you're not. Jesus has set the table and has invited us to a wonderful table of food and drink. May we invite others to come in the name of Jesus to rightly worship with us, and for his sake may they be rightly convinced to receive his instruction. By the grace of the Spirit, may they hear the truth and not reject it. May they keep coming back for more, hungering for the body and blood of Christ until the day they receive it, and even thereafter continue to hunger for more, to continue to be invited to the feast, to dine with Christ forever, to sit at the table which gives this feast that never ends week after week. And for their sake, may we give thanks to God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. Thanks for tuning in. The podcast of this program is also available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Allman. I serve St. David's Lutheran Church in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. I hope you've enjoyed this week's message. Next week we'll be looking at Job 38, verses 4 to 18. And the question of the day, who are you? Well, whoever you are, for now, God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon on Lutheran Radio UK for another episode of the series, Faith That Functions.